The bullets have faded, the banners have fallen, but the dream lives on. In the fields reborn, in the children laughing beneath a free sky, Captain Ibrahim Traoré knew true victory was not seizing power. It was planting a future that could never be uprooted. This was never just a revolution. It was the beginning of tomorrow. If you haven't already, make sure to follow us and tap the notification bell. We drop new content every day. Stay tuned so you never miss a story. Chapter 12, The Dream of Tomorrow. When the dust of battle settles, when the last conspirator is unmasked, when the last bullet is fired, when the last betrayal is forgiven or forgotten, what remains? For Captain Ibrahim Traoré, the answer was clear. The future. Not just survival. Not just slogans. A true, living, breathing future. Built by the hands of the people. Fueled by their dreams. Protected by their sacrifice. And he was determined, with every scar on his body, every drop of blood spilled, every moment of stolen sleep, to help bring it into being. The blueprint for Burkina Faso's rebirth was drawn not in secret meetings or foreign boardrooms, but in the open air, under the unforgiving Sahel sun, amidst the dusty fields and crowded markets where real life pulsed and strained to endure. It would be a future built on five unshakable pillars. 1. Security rooted in the people. The first and most urgent need, peace. Not the fragile, bought peace of foreign military bases, but the hard-won peace of communities defending themselves. Local militias, volunteers for the defense of the homeland, were expanded, trained, and equipped, not to become warlords, but to become guardians. Elders, youths, women, all given a stake, a voice, a rifle if necessary, to defend the soil they called home. Village by village, road by road, Burkina Faso pushed back the darkness. No invader would ever again be able to claim her lands without a fight. 2. Self-reliant economy. Under Traoré's bold vision, Burkina Faso would no longer export its gold and cotton for pennies, only to import back overpriced goods. Instead, a national gold refinery was built, capable of processing 150 tons per year, ensuring that the nation, not foreign corporations, controlled its own wealth. Agricultural programs exploded across the countryside, empowering farmers to grow for local markets, not for foreign supermarkets. A $250 million international dry port and airport project near Ouagadougou was launched, finally offering Burkina Faso a lifeline to the Atlantic free from exploitative tolls. Every franc of profit stayed home. Every seed planted stayed rooted. Every hand that worked was honored. 3. Education without chains. Traoré knew. A free nation cannot live if its people remain trapped in ignorance. He poured resources into reopening schools once shuttered by war. He slashed bureaucratic barriers that had made education a privilege instead of a right. He ordered new curricula, rooted not in colonial shame, but in African pride, innovation, and self-respect. In the rebuilt classrooms, children once again scrawled their dreams on battered slates. They learned of Sankara, of Mandela, of Nzinga, of the ancestors who had fought for the soil beneath their feet. And they learned of themselves, their worth, their power, their future. 4. Healthcare for all. Hospitals, once hollowed out by corruption and neglect, began to hum with life. Mobile clinics fanned out into rural areas. Doctors and nurses were paid living wages. Stockpiles of medicines, once pilfered and sold on black markets, were secured and distributed. No Burkinabe would die of a curable disease while elites jetted off to Paris for treatment. Not under Traoré's watch. Not ever again. 5. Cultural renaissance. Perhaps most revolutionary of all, Ibrahim Traoré understood that true independence is not just about guns and money. It is about spirit, about identity. He launched initiatives to revive traditional arts, music, storytelling. He celebrated the old kingdoms, the warrior queens, the griots who had kept history alive in whispered songs. He commissioned monuments to the forgotten martyrs of resistance, not sterile statues of bureaucrats, but living gardens, murals, festivals where the soul of Burkina Faso could bloom in full color. A people without memory is a people easily conquered. Traoré vowed, Burkina Faso would remember. And because it remembered, it would endure. Of course, the road remained perilous. Every victory bred new enemies. Every step forward came at a cost. There were still bombs. Still betrayals. Still dark money flowing into shadowy hands. But the center held. Because the people, the real power, had tasted a different future. And once tasted, it could not be forgotten. On the second anniversary of his leadership, Ibrahim Traoré stood once again before his people. The Grand Parade Ground in Ouagadougou, once reserved for foreign dignitaries and corrupt generals, now thronged with farmers, teachers, students, builders, soldiers, men and women who had rebuilt their villages, who had defended their borders, who had planted the seeds of a new nation with their own blood and sweat. He spoke without a script, without a teleprompter. His voice was hoarse from exhaustion, his uniform stained from days on the road. But his eyes blazed brighter than ever. "I did not save you," he said simply. "You saved yourselves." A hush fell. "I am only your servant, your brother, your son, and I will walk with you into whatever storms may come until my last breath." The applause that followed was not the applause of subjects for a king. It was the applause of a family, a people who had found their voice, their dignity, their future, together. And so, as the sun dipped low over the Sahel, casting long golden shadows across a land scarred but unbroken, Captain Ibrahim Traoré, son of Bondoukui, son of struggle, son of hope, smiled quietly to himself. There would be more battles. There would be more blood. But there would also be a tomorrow. A tomorrow forged not by foreign masters, not by distant empires, but by the calloused, stubborn, beautiful hands of Burkina Faso's own sons and daughters. And in that tomorrow, they would stand free, whatever the cost, whatever it took, forever.